most of what we have learned has come from ancient wisdom. It's come from stories and events that have been handed down from human to human, either in writings or inscriptions, to where we are today. You have talked a lot about ancient mystery schools. Tell me about these schools.
Yeah, you know, ancient mystery schools were really an intriguing phenomena of the old world. And they were sort of a network of spiritual academies, and you can think of them kind of like today's Ivy League universities. Now, some examples of these schools would have been the famous Eleusinian school, Eleusinian Mysteries in Greece, the Pythagorean school at Crotona, Italy, the various Hermetic Egyptian schools, and the Druidic centers in the British Isles. And the purpose of these schools or academies was to preserve a sacred wisdom concerning the creation, humanity's origins, and the true nature of reality. And kind of like the Ivy League schools of today, they were pretty selective. They screened their candidates for acceptance. They had to get people who were both intelligent and spiritually mature enough to receive the teachings. And the initiates would go through anywhere between 4 to 10 stages of initiation, kind of like maybe today's modern Masons, where I think there's 32 degrees in Masonry that you have to go through. And the curriculum would have consisted of things like mathematics, harmonics, astrology, and the physical sciences. And there's evidence that they were in contact with one another. So, for instance, the Druids way off in the corner of the British Isles, we have evidence that they were in contact with the Mediterranean schools, who in turn were in contact with the Persian and Indian schools of this tradition.
Okay, now as you look at this tradition, what were they seeking? What were they looking for? What kind of answers were they after?
Well, they really were trying to answer the tough problems of life. They wanted to understand the nature of the creation, of human origin, of human destiny, of our purpose, the very fundamental questions that philosophy and religion and thinkers have been tackling, throughout history.
Because they didn't have radio, they didn't have television, they didn't have newspapers, they seemed to concentrate on things like this. Were they better thinkers than we are today?
You know, in some respects, you could say they were. They certainly were in tune with certain knowledge that allowed them to use their own consciousness and trace their own consciousness backward, or inward, I should say, up to a higher level, where they would derive information that was surprisingly similar to what mystics in other corners of the world would get when they went into their states of meditation. And there were surprising, you know, correlations, which collectively, probably over thousands of years, formed this body of this ancient spiritual tradition.
What kind of abilities did they possess, Peter? Could they do also things that you've done, the clairvoyance, the intuitiveness? Did they have this too?
Oh, I think clearly they would have exhibited those abilities. I mean, we have, at least allegations or legends of spiritual masters in the East who actually had the ability to have their hands physically move through solid objects. Even today, you have certain figures like Satya Sai Baba in India, who is kind of famous for turning over an empty urn and then producing a mound of ash up to his belly button. You know, these phenomena haven't completely disappeared from the modern world. They're still displayed, but I have a feeling they were probably more prevalent back then, simply because of the fact, as you mentioned, it was a different world with different focus to it, and certainly these spiritual issues would have been primary in their minds, as opposed to maybe, you know, today going to work and seeing what's happening in the stock market.
The mixture between some of the ancient traditions and quantum physics, tell me the tie-in here.
Well, the tie-ins can get kind of complex. But let me say this: let's talk a little bit about quantum physics, just some basics of quantum physics to sort of set the stage to answer the question.
Sure.
When I was a kid, I used to read Superman comics, and there was an alternate world called Bizarro World in Superman comics, and maybe some of the listeners out here kind of remember that. And Bizarro World was kind of the just the opposite of everything that happened on Earth, like a mirror image. And this is a little bit of how the world of quantum physics is in comparison to what we observe in the macroscopic world, in the apparent world that we see every day. So that quantum physics describes the most fundamental levels of physical reality at the most minute levels, and it yields a lot of counterintuitive results. Now, at the most fundamental level, the particles that make up the physical world do not exist. They begin as waves of light smeared across infinity, containing all possible outcomes, manifestations of reality. So at this level, physicists actually speak of particles as tendencies to exist. Now, we take Einstein's famous equation, E equals MC squared. What that's saying is that light and matter are interchangeable forms of the same energy, so that what we perceive as solid matter actually has its origin in intangible light. There's another nifty little thing that happens at the quantum level. It's called non-locality. This is where particles that are vast distances apart can be in instantaneous communication and reaction to one another. So it's as if a person on Earth and a person on Pluto knew each other's actions the instant they happened. We've probably all heard of the famous quantum leap. Quantum leap is when electrons orbiting a nucleus blip out of existence and they appear at a higher orbit with no intervening transition. And that would be like Earth blipping out of existence and suddenly appearing in orbit beyond Jupiter. And I guess the last thing would be that, you know, particles, when they perform these experiments and they're viewing particle reactions, it seems that the particles cannot be observed without the observer influencing the behavior of the particles. So some connection seems to exist between the observer and the subject being observed. Now, taking off from that basic primer on quantum physics, let's talk about some of the parallels with modern science and the ancient mystical traditions. Ancient wisdom said that light is the medium by which the one energy of the universe forms existence. And quantum physics and relativity say that matter originates as light. Ancient wisdom said that the spirit projected itself into successive levels or dimensions of consciousness to form the totality of reality. And parallel universe and string theories of physics say that parallel dimensions are formed in successive levels. So the levels of consciousness that the ancients talked about are analogous to the parallel dimensions that we speak of today. Ancient wisdom said that our universe was manifested and maintained by a network of intelligent energies. Now, these spirit intelligences would impart directive information that organized the structure of our reality. Modern information theory believes that directive information is encoded in light itself. And the holographic universe theory pictures a quilt work of intelligent energies that blanket our three-dimensional universe, creating it and maintaining it like a holographic projection of light, which is the same thing that the ancients were saying. This is almost like we're living in the holodeck of the old Star Trek series. And finally, the ancient wisdom said that the dimension of matter, because it was of a different vibration than spirit, was expelled from the higher dimensions in a great disturbance. This is really a description of the Big Bang, which says that our material universe was created when the three dimensions of our world were crunched down and expelled from several higher dimensions in a great explosion. So when you get into a really close reading of the text, you see, you know, numerous parallels like this. What the ancients were saying in the language of their time and their culture translated into the modern theories of quantum physics.